You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Why didn't they laugh?
You suck!
That's not funny.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? I'm your host, Owen Benjamin. This is a podcast dedicated to analyzing why jokes can sometimes not work and what we can learn from failure. This week, we got a lot of it. Got some good clips. I just was on the road for 10 days, so I got to meet a bunch of you, and it was a blast in Orlando and Plano, Texas, and Madison. And then this weekend, I'll be in Dallas, Texas. And it was hard, man. I'm not going to lie. It was tough to be away from the family. It was intense. Trying to keep jump roping and eating kale when it's a lot easier to eat nachos and sleep in till 2 and drink booze. It's a battle. And I'm now that I have shit to come home to, it's not as fun, but the comedy has been popping because it's such a magical time to be alive because things are going fucking crazy. So much so that I'm converting to a flip phone. So if you need me, if you want to talk to me, email me. whydidn'tthelaugh@gmail.com. Yeah, I'm done with smartphones. They're too addicting. Like, in a normal life, I'm fine with iPhones and stuff. Like, I can handle it. But when I'm exhausted, when I haven't slept in 2 days because of travel and morning radio and, you know, I'm on stage till 1 a.m. and then meeting people after and I'm in some strange hotel with the window not opening and I can't sleep, you get weak. And when I'm weak, I'm a moth. I'm just attracted to light. I just look at light and I watch Netflix and I look up what's trending on Twitter and I argue with strangers and it is, it just sucks the life right out of you. You think the world's on fire and it's not. So, but it inspired me a lot this week. It inspired me a lot. So I've been trying to figure out what is causing all this feeling of tension in our country of America. And I'm sure you, if you're listening to this in other countries, some of your countries are probably nice and mellow, but lately we've been on fire. Not literally, all our crimes are down for the lowest they've ever been in history, but emotionally we're being ravaged. And I can always soothe it out when I'm live. I can do, like, Orlando was a very, very diverse crowd in all aspects of life. Rich, poor, white, black, Puerto Rican, Cuban, Mexican, Asian, left-handed, right-handed, male, female, relationships, single, party people, old people. By the end, they're united. And I'll do the same exact thing online, and people are like, how dare you? So I actually turned that into a joke. Check this out. Which one is this? Here we go. Can this even... Uno momento, por favor. Oh, this is called the Hall of Mirrors.
Now people can limit their world so that they only hear people that agree with them. That's why they get the balls. How dare you? It's like, it's because you surround yourself in a room of mirrors, right? You only follow people that agree with you. And back in the day, you had to be around people that you didn't agree with, and that's when you realized that policies don't matter, opinions don't matter, people matter. Like, you can have a different opinion, and we can still be friends. And that's going away now. It's like, if you feel differently, unfollow. Like, bro, I'll follow you in real life and beat you to death.
Yeah, I mean, that came from just watching how funny this is becoming because people, they have, my wife said something very interesting. She said, what makes you strong in person makes you weak online and vice versa. What makes you strong in person, which is eye contact and body language of confidence and that feeling that you give people where they know you're not lying, you don't have an agenda and you're not trying to manipulate them. Those are all things that come through in nonverbal communication. You can look in someone's face and you feel their truth. And so that when their words come out, I think a lot of times my comedy comes from the combination between my obvious truth. Like, I'm not there to hurt anyone's feelings. You can hear it in my tone. You can see it in my body. And then my words are so, you know, they can be jarring at times, but I think that that combination is where the healing comes from, and the laughter and the joy that comedy is. And then when you just type things out online or it becomes a hashtag, it's so, that's when the weak people take over, where someone with an agenda or with something to sell you or with an ulterior motive shines, because they, okay, here's a perfect example. I can't stop saying retarded, and it's a principle of mine. And when it's typed, people are like, oh, you're ignorant. You're an ignorant man. You hurt people's feelings. And I'm like, no, this is how I feel. It's a word that has nothing to do with Down syndrome or mentally handicapped people. It's a word that's existed for hundreds of years. In fact, it was used as the political correct term for imbecile, because retarded means underdeveloped, and you use it with like a fire retardant. You know, I don't have to explain this to you guys. People who listen to this podcast are typically pretty intelligent, but the reason I won't stop, and people are like, just stop though. Just stop. Why is it hard to stop? Because what's next? I'm from the school of thought that it's almost like prison, or it's almost like the mafia, where once you take a dollar, they own you. Once someone says, I can limit the word you say just because there's no logical reason. I don't use the word nigger. I don't use that. I won't say N-word right now because that makes me sound like a child, but I will never call someone that. That word makes sense to me why it's not used. I have no problem with those type of pejorative words, but like a word like retarded, someone can't just take words. And once they do that, what's next? I can't say my last name. I can't say, I don't know. I mean, what else can you say? The word adult might offend people. That's next. Adult, be more of an adult. That's going to become a new thing where like millennials, no, the ones after them, millennials, I don't know, maybe, who knows? They'll be like, don't put me in a category of adult. I am myself. I mean, calling someone a boy or a girl is offensive to some of these people. Like once you give them a taste, they can't help themselves. But I was trying to work on this bit. This is okay. I'm not going to be preachy with the rest of this. I'm going to go back to just talking, like workshopping a joke. Okay. Here was, which one was this? So I'm trying to work on a joke about,
yeah, it's weird to be aggressive. That joke usually gets a laugh.
So I'm working on a bit about what makes my generation different than a younger generation, about the internet and about fairy tales. Check this out.
Right before an election, people are like, and that's all right, it'll pass. But yeah, it's like aggression. There's two groups of people in the world, and it's not political, and it's not race, not sex, not none of that shit. It's people that remember life before the internet and people that don't. That's it. And like, people before the internet are kind of aggressive and like intense and not as politically correct because we didn't know anything. Like growing up, we got told fairy tales that were crazy right before bed. It's like in the Seven Dwarfs, drugged her, and then the prince raped her. Good night. And you're like, good night, mom. It's just that I was in the woods. We live in the woods. It's like, I know. Snow White was banged by the prince while she was asleep. True story. I know if you're offended, no shit. That's our whole childhood. So it's kind of tough for us to be like, the seven little people raped the woman. It's like, what? Like, little people. That sounds more condescending. I thought midget, I get the midgets a little offensive, so that's why I like to call them people McNuggets. Because McNuggets are great. People are great.
Okay, well, I had to just bail out of that silence with the people McNuggets joke, but the meat of that was talking about fairy tales, where it's like the grim fairy tales. I heard a podcast about that, and it reminded me just how dark and scary they were. And so I was taking it that angle. And then the next day I was really thinking about that. Like, is that why people are more weak and politically correct now. And I think it might actually be the opposite, that we had a safe space growing up, and that was that it was just a story, and that now the wolves are real. And so here's another clip, and this is from my microphone, so you can't hear the audience laugh, so just trust me, it's about the same, I think. I don't know what did better or worse necessarily, but there's something really interesting that happens here. Check this out.
They're dealing with, back in our day, we didn't know that the world was scary. Like, we had fairy tales that were terrifying. Remember Grimm fairy tales? My mom's a children's literature professor, so she would always read to me. And she'd be like, she'd read to me these things, like, you know, Little Red Riding Hood or any of this stuff, where it's like, and then the wolf came out and took the child, ate it, ate the kid. You know, and I'm like, where was this? Like, in the woods. I'm like, we're in the woods. She's like, yeah, but it's just a parable to, like, learn about life. There's no monsters out there. I love you, baby. And I'm like, I love you, too. And then the internet came out and, like, sexual registries and shit. And everyone's like, fuck, the wolf is right there. I thought that was just a nice dude with a van who always wears sweatpants. He's a good dude. No, that dude's trying to fuck us. You know, Snow White, was that?
See, so it's getting a laugh, but the concept requires a jarringness to it. It requires me saying rape or eat the kid or something, because that's the whole point of the joke. So I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, where it's like, nowadays, Bill Cosby really is a wolf. And he was like, there's no one you can really trust, that our heroes have been broken down. And back then, we, you know, in the end, there'd be happily ever after. And we didn't know that everyone running for president is insane. Like, back then, you really, I feel like you voted for someone, and now we vote against someone. But the reason I played that is because, okay, this is just when the comedy gods give you a present. During my set, an alarm went off in the building and everyone got a text message and looked down during my show. You guessed it. In Amber Alert. Check this out.
What's that sound? What is that? Amber. An Amber Alert? There's wolves in these forests. Wow.
You see what I mean? It proved it. Like, I did that joke about how now the wolves are real, and while I'm on stage, there was an alert that everyone had heard about a child had just been abducted. That didn't used to happen, and that takes a real psychological toll on people. Like, it used to be milk cartons, and now it's Amber Alert. Do you know the success rate of milk cartons? They did this whole thing where they would have missing children on milk cartons. At least that was still in our refrigerator. Do you know the success rate? How many children were saved by that? One. And it was debatable that they were even saved, that it was their dad had kidnapped this kid, and the milk carton thing may have helped. Billions of milk cartons scared the absolute shit out of people, creating a culture of insane paranoia. And it debatably did nothing. It probably caused more child abductions than it did save abductions. That this whole culture of fear is bad, and I don't give a shit. It's bad. I know what's bad, and that's bad. And people are like, oh, well, you don't. It's like, dude, all right, what do I got here? So I also was working on a bit about how I don't vote. I can't believe how much people hate the fact that I don't vote. Like, they get furious at me. And I didn't always think this. I voted before. It's just after this year, I'm done with it. And it's a very simple concept. It's that I don't want to vote against anyone. I will only want to vote for someone. I'm not going to settle. I didn't settle with my wife. I didn't settle with my job. I didn't settle with my health, the city I live in. I don't settle. And I'm not going to settle and vote for someone I don't like, even if they are better than the other one. I won't fucking do that. And I did the joke on stage where I was like, it's right out of the Matrix. Morpheus is like, choose red pill or blue pill. It's like, how about I don't take a pill from a random black guy in a trench coat? It's even the same political colors, red or blue. Choose your pill. How about I don't take a fucking pill? How about you decide? And then people are like, oh, well, if you don't vote, then you can't complain. It's like, yeah, you can. You're the only one who can complain because you weren't a part of their fucking stupid dance. How about the fact nobody wants nonviolent drug offenders to do life sentences? I don't know one person. Not one. How can we not vote on that? How can I buy a hammock at 30,000 feet on an airplane that can be delivered to my door before I land, but I can't decide that we can't decide as a nation to overturn very, very evil things? It's not a democracy, and I won't pretend it is. And right now, this is pissing people off. People are like, "You," but that's just because we don't have religion anymore, so now we have politics to fill the void. We have secular religions, which are even scarier. And I have enough friends from different sides of the street to know it's bullshit. It's like, there's so many people that are like, if Trump gets elected, it is the end of the world. I'm moving to Canada. By the way, if you, I remember this one girl was like, Trump will not let Muslims into our country, so I will move to Canada. By the way, Canada won't let you in their country. You will learn that if you want to leave because of Trump's immigration problem to Canada, they won't let you in because of their immigration policies. So that's hilarious. And then the other side is even just as crazy, where it's like, oh, if Hillary's elected, the trillions of dollars will go the banks and the Middle East and the Arab Brotherhood. And it's like, dude, we don't know. Everyone always talks about the wrong side of history. Don't be on the wrong side of history. It's like, until 1990, we thought Christopher Columbus was like a great guy. So, yeah, maybe in 500 years, we'll figure out who's really the good and who's really the bad choice. But it's the arrogance of these people. It's the arrogance. And I'm out. I'm not doing it. And I think it's so funny. People get more mad at someone not voting than they do someone voting for the person they don't like. And that is just fucking stupid. It's like, do you want steak or chicken? I'm a vegetarian. Eat steak or chicken. No, fuck you. My vote doesn't matter and you know it. I think people hate it because it reminds them that they know their vote doesn't matter. Like, deep down inside, they know that. And so when you say you're not in, they get really, really mad at you. All right, that's enough politics talk. And once you realize you're not voting, once you're proud of it, once you're like, I'm taking a stand that I don't have a stand, my stance is no stance. It feels very liberating when someone starts talking about Trump or someone starts talking about Hillary and you're just like, I don't want to talk about that. I'm not involved anymore. I think it's toxic. I can recognize toxic a mile away. These are just two bickering old strangers from a dying time. And frankly, I don't give a shit.
I forget to shave a lot. I do. Like being on the road or even home, I just forget. I already have a chick, so sometimes I forget to look presentable. And that's bad. You got to shave. You got to look good. And I've been exposed recently to the best razors I've ever seen, Harry's. Harry's razors are unbelievable. They're German made. And one thing the Germans know is how to make stuff really precise and awesome. And they'll send them right to your door. One thing I love about Harry's is they send them to you in like this box with really good smelling creams and gels. And it just looks cool, so that you take pride in it. You put it in your bathroom, but you don't just leave your razor out. You have like a place for it. And you take pride in your shave. It's sweet. The Harry's starter set is called the Truman. Kind of like Harry Truman. It's a great option for the new customer. It's an amazing deal. It's only $15. And you can get the razor handle, the moisturizing shave cream, which by the way is unbelievable, and three of Harry's five-blade German-engineered razors. A lot of people brag about how many razors. How about five? How about five German razors? Plus, there's a special offer for fans of this show. Apparently, Harry's likes this show, and they want my fans to look really, really good. Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase with promo code LAUGH, L-A-U-G-H, LAUGH. Go to harrys.com right now and look for the Truman Set. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com. Enter code LAUGH at checkout, get $5 off. Help support the show and help support your face. Stop compromising. Give Harry's a try.
It affects me. My wife's like, how come you engage in all this shit? I'm like, because my job is political. It didn't used to be, but it is now. They're making Jimmy Fallon take a side. Are you out of your fucking mind? Jimmy Fallon is Wonder Bread. No way. Hey, no way. Kristen Stewart's here. Oh, I love your movies, Kristen Stewart. Hey, Tribe Called Quest. The Roots are here. Oh my God. Justin Timberlake's about to do a sing, song, dance. That's really him, but that's how he acts. We used to tour, and he would like act that way to like busboys and stuff. He'd be like, so what's it like picking up dishes all the time? Like, that must be so great. Like, you're such a good guy. And everyone's like, he rubbed Hitler's head. No, he didn't. That's not Hitler. You got to read up on Hitler. And by the way, it's not Jimmy Fallon's job to be political. It's comedians and politicians are now switching sides, and I'm getting furious at it. That's why I fight it. That's why I'm online trying to prove people wrong, because it costs me money. It costs me jobs. It costs me my sanity to be the guy. I'm supposed to be the joker, the jester. That's why I do these rants about what's his fucking Gladwell and all these people that think that satire is supposed to take a side. And of course the side has to be the left. Imagine if Tina Fey took from last week's episode when Malcolm Gladwell just ripped Tina Fey apart, talking about how her Sarah Palin impression was toothless and she could have taken her down. Imagine if it was the opposite. Imagine if she boosted Sarah Palin. That would be preposterous. And so basically what they're saying is comedians have to be the voice of the left. And my past history, I was always liberal. I was always a Democrat growing up because it was always the underdog one. It was the one that defended what I considered people that needed help. You know, poor people, single moms, gay people, minorities, people that want to go to college. It felt like the party of the educated. It felt like the party that wasn't the greedy totalitarian party. And I don't see that anymore. And my eyes are open. It's not the party of that. If you're going to censor Jimmy Fallon because he was nice to one of the two political candidates, you're totalitarian. You have to have a fucking ego check. So that's why I'm done, because it disgusts me. I won't vote against gay marriage or legalizing weed or any of the, but see, none of that shit even matters. Like, that's not what this is over. Obama promised transparency, you know, ending Guantanamo, all this shit, and nothing happened. That's why I know that it's not because Obama's a bad guy. It's just, they don't even know when they're going into this job what the job is. It's molasses. After Rome became basically a dictatorship, after Caesar took it over, and then there was all these just leaders, and they disbanded the Senate. I don't know if most people realize they didn't disband the Senate. They still voted. They still pretended the Senate was there. They just had no power. That's already happened here. Once Citizens United was passed in 2010, that's it. Major corporations run the country. And I'm not complaining. I want to work for these people. I want them to sponsor my shit. I want to perform for them. I'm not anti-corporation. I'm anti-charade. I have no problem with corporations. I have a problem with pretending that I'm going to go to a ballot box with a lever, even though a smartphone, think about a voting box versus a smartphone. Basically, it's an archaic tradition that's just to give you a false sense of control. It's a religion. To pull a little lever and have everyone tally it up, and it's always almost exactly 50-50, but one person wins slightly. And the voter turnout is abysmal. And that is not what I'm going to be a part of ever the fuck again. And my wife and I had a hilarious chat about how, like when she first met me, like my goals would be more like to get chicks naked or like have them tell me that they wanted to fuck me. And so my comedy like was more just light and more just like about my dick and sex and charmy. And now it's like heavier because like I'm still like that. I'm still a wolf. I'm still an obsessive person. I just have no interest in other women than her because I'm happy and I love her. But I got to put all that shit somewhere. So sometimes I get intense, but I think this weighs a lot healthier than chasing ass, especially when you have a wonderful family. And we had a big laugh about that. She was like, you know, sometimes you get so dark with this shit. Maybe you should start going back to chasing ass. She's very funny. All right. So anyway, this has been a fun one. It's been a fun one. I'm tired. I'm worn out. If I seem cranky and fucking a little dark, it's because I am. I don't like going on the road for 11 days anymore. 4 is fine. 11 sucks. But I'd love to see you, because when you guys come out, it's the closest thing I have to friends on the road. I can't consider the Avis car guy who's a dick my friend. So, hugepianist.com. And, of course, another Case Closed Beers Open comes out this week, and I am so blown away that people have actually been buying us beers at our website, hugepianist.com. If you go to that, you can buy Jason and I a beer. And the first dude who bought us a beer also sent us a case. It's about his buddy who thinks he's having an out-of-body experience. So we closed that case this week, and he bought us a beer, so we cracked that beer. Some people were buying us cases of beer. Super funny, because it's so true. We literally will buy beers with them. My brother's coming over in 10 minutes, and we're all going to sit at the fire, and we are going to have a really good time. So check that stuff out. Subscribe, comment, let me know what you think. And I trust you guys. The only reason I go on these rants on this is because my listeners on this are thoughtful. I get emails that are like mind-blowing. This one, I don't have the email up right now, but someone wrote me an email that was talking about this philosopher who is against, what's it called? He called it BS, belief systems. He's like, I don't like any belief systems. He's like, every belief system has a flaw. And I think we're starting to see that because we have such a flood of information that anyone who's just rigidly Democrat, Republican, whatever, that like, this is it. I vote on everything they tell me to. Maybe they're right because they're just blindly happy, but it's just most of their points are just provably wrong. All right. This week has been a bummer, kind of, I guess, but I'm glad you stuck it through. And email me, whydidn'tthelaugh@gmail.com. And I love that you listen to this. I love it. I love that you let me inside of you. Let me inside of you emotionally, because I don't fuck with like random chicks anymore. So now it's emotional penetration. Thank you for letting me emotionally penetrate you. Bye.
Peeps, it's Jessie Mae Peluso here to tell you about my podcast, The Sharp Tongue, heard each week right here on the Sideshow Network. Every episode is a slice of my life as a touring comedian, and I'm bringing you my favorite funny and interesting friends to talk about whatever is on our minds. I talk about road stories, I talk about horror movies, music, putting fingers in buttholes. Everything you ever want to talk about is right here. It's The Sharp Tongue with me, Jessie Mae Peluso, every week on iTunes and the Sideshow Network. Download, rate, and subscribe, and tell a friend to check us out, because we need validation. And by we, I mean me. I'm alone here in the studio.